You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the How to Hunt Deer podcast. I'm your co-host Jason Thibodeau, and with me I got Dan Johnson on the line. Dan, how we doing?
Doing good, dude.
Good.
Hey, doing real good. And for your first ever intro, A plus, man.
Hey, thank you.
A plus.
I've had a lot of listening to other people do it, so.
There you go. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And I think I could get used to that. That's okay.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. First time, the second time's easier. The second time's easier. So forth and so on. You got snow where you're at today?
No. It's in the forecast. They said we might get a dusting to an inch, but I'm not seeing really anything from here to Christmas. I mean, actually Christmas looks like it's going to be 40 degrees, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we got I'd say a half inch on the ground right now.
Okay.
It's blowing around a little bit, but we're supposed to get some brutal temps coming this week. We're supposed to get some more snow coming later next week, I believe. And so I don't know what the deal for Christmas. I haven't even made it that far yet in my life. Like, I'm so busy right now. I have to ignore other things in my life.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been so busy where it's like, okay, well, this is just not getting dealt with right now?
Absolutely. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. I told you on Sunday that, you know, we're going to have to push it back a couple of days because I had a couple jobs that I had to get done because my end of season is here. And I kind of feel like I've been getting greedy because the weather's been so workable. But yet it's also, you get to a point where I can't dig, you know, it freezes overnight and then it just makes everything hard. So,
How's that work for you? How's that work for you? Like, how do you know as a self-employed guy who works in landscaping when it is time to shut off or can you squeak one more job in? How do you make that?
It's greed, you know, how much do you want to work? And how much money do you want to make? Because, I mean, I could probably work all the way through until spring and then just pick up where I left off. But in hindsight, it's how productive are you? You know, is it worth the time? Is it worth damaging equipment? Because everything doesn't want to run when it gets cold. And it just the conditions aren't very favorable when you, especially if it's anything dirt or soil related. I mean, if you got to dig, you might not be starting until 10, 11, 12, 12 o'clock that day, and you might only work for 3 hours, 4 hours. And so, it's kind of a just use your best judgment. And then since the holidays are really fast approaching, I kind of just shut her down about the same time every year, give or take 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, I'm normally done.
Yeah. And so do you go into hibernation mode for your job or do you have another source of income during the winter months?
Well, so for 20 some years, I plowed snow, and being that my kids are getting to the age of just being in everything and their birthdays are in December and the holidays and stuff, I gave up the snow plowing. But for years I've done remodeling and stuff for different contractors. But even that though, I guess I could go back almost 10 years. That's slowed way down just because there isn't the new construction of stuff. So some of it, I just kind of find odds and ends things to do to stay busy here or there. I've worked at different places just to kind of more or less keep me out of seasonal depression. it's a real thing. You know, you sit around long enough, you can think about how many colors you're going to paint a room, and it gets boring. But
I don't think about that. Like, I don't think about remodeling projects. I don't think about And that's probably why my wife gets pissed all the time. She's like, oh, did you hear so-and-so got a new kitchen? I'm like, good, man. Happy for them. I'm glad they got their new kitchen. Oh, okay. What do you think of our kitchen? Then it's just, it's all danger from there. It's dangerous. Past that conversation. So
it really is. I don't know. I find a lot of projects to do, but to buy time and stuff, you know, and kill time. It's a struggle sometimes, you know. If the weather's nice, I enjoy it because I'll go out to the woods. I'll go out of my property and do some of the stuff here late season to prepare for next year. So, but anyways, time to talk deer.
Well, not deer quite yet.
Okay.
Because we're coming up on Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit about Christmas presents for hunters, whether you're a serious hunter, whether you're buying gifts for a kid. And just like run through that real quick. I don't want this whole episode to be dedicated to gear and stuff, but I was just thinking about some of the things that you could potentially buy some people that are maybe affordable, or maybe it's something you're going to buy if for some odd reason you're a woman listening to this podcast. My demographic is like 97% men and then 3% women, which some part of that is actually men listening through their women's accounts.
Sure.
So, for men or whatever. So I don't know, man, like, what do you got on the table for gift giving when it comes to hunting gear and equipment?
So I always do an exchange with a couple people, and it's generally just something small. I mean, it could be a white-tailed deer calendar. It could be Ryan Kirby stuff. I don't know if you have many of that, but I like his prints and stuff. So we'll do that. But if it was gear related, one of the biggest things, especially since we're at this time of year, is, I mean, hand warmers, toe warmers, they're simple, you know, stocking stuffers or whatever you want to call it. The other thing that I really like, especially when it gets this cold, is my feet get cold, and I use those slip-on, like, sleeping bag boot cover things. I think there's a couple different brands out there, but that would be one thing that I would, especially related to this time of year.
Yeah. Cold weather stuff for cold weather.
Yeah.
I get tons of hand warmers for Christmas. I have an entire box in my garage of hand warmers, and I'm talking, it's probably, I don't know, 6 inches deep, 2 foot wide of hand warmers that I haven't used yet. And I'll get more to throw on top of that this Christmas for stocking stuffers and things like that. Sure. You know, it's hard to tell how serious somebody is about hunting, because if, like, for me, I don't ever get hunting gear and equipment as gifts per se, because I'm the one who has to, I'm very picky about my gear. And so unless it is like a calendar or a thing of gloves or something like that, then I get all of it myself. So usually it's something completely different. But the thing that I was thinking about right now is hunting gear and equipment you can get your husband or your wife, or you get for yourself or get for the family, would be something like a hunting blind, right? Yep. Once we start getting off the ground, things become more difficult. And so I would think that a hunting blind would be one of the best hunting type of gifts for an entire family, because, number one, kids move around a lot. So if you're trying to introduce your kids into hunting, a hunting blind would probably be the best first step to doing something like that. Next would be some type of, as far as a kid is concerned, like depending on how old your kids are, maybe a shotgun. You can find a really good shotgun, and I'm not thinking about just deer at this point. I'm thinking about turkey, I'm thinking about deer hunting, I'm thinking about any other activity that you can do in a ground blind. And then when your kids start getting into that 10, 11 year old, I mean, think about a 410, think about a 20 gauge, something that they will be able to grow, like they'll have for, you know, until they decide they want something bigger, or they maybe don't want to pursue shooting sports or hunting and things like that. So I purchased a a 410. I didn't do it for any type of gifts for the family, for my son and my daughter, and they're going to use it. But the other thing could be their first bow. And you can find really affordable archery equipment for kids, you know, Scheels, Bass Pro Shop, things like that. So all these introductory type gifts, I feel, are perfect type of Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I got one other one I was just thinking of. Yeah. My fiance had asked what I wanted for Christmas, and of course, I pretty much, same as you, I'm very particular on what I want, and generally, if I want it, I'm just going to go get it, save up for it, or whatever. Well, I got thinking, after a couple of my rut hunts this year, how much I dread carrying my decoys out. And so I started thinking about it, and I'm like, there's got to be an easier way to this, and you know, I've got a deer cart and everything. Well, I started looking, and I those big sleds, those deep black sleds that they make for like dragging deer out.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I'm going to decoy and use both decoys, I mean, this saves a lot of effort. And if I can do it silently through some grass or whatever, this might be a good idea. So she's actually got me one of those for Christmas this year. And I don't know. I mean, it might be a good thing for a kid, too. You get tired of carrying all the stuff, put it in the sled and drag it and tuck it in the weeds, and maybe it works for you.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Other than that, like, then the serious thing would be if you're looking to buy a gift for a serious hunter, I think the best thing would be a gift card.
Yeah.
Because that allows them to do all the work themselves. And gift cards are the best Christmas gift ever, because you can, like, the person giving it, right? It's not cool. It's not, oh my God, I got a brand new bow, but oh my God, I got money that I can go buy a brand new bow with, or you know what I mean? Or it can go to it and things like that. And that way, if you're a serious hunter, I would say gift cards.
Absolutely. I think if you give somebody cash, especially an adult, they use it for adulting, you know, and it doesn't necessarily go for hunting gear. So,
right. I remember my grandma one year gave me like $20 in cash. And I put it right in my gas tank. She's like, yep, have fun with this. And I'm like, okay, right to the gas tank. Now it's gone.
Yep.
But is what it is. outside of that, any other Christmas type gifts or I don't know.
As far as gear or something, I mean, you can't really go wrong with buying somebody warm socks or base layers even. I mean, because they'll use them at some point. They might not be exactly what you were looking for, but you can't really go wrong with it. So I guess outside of that, I kind of agree with what you say. You know, if you get off the ground, tree stand stuff is a little hard to cater to. If you got young hunters, you know, maybe getting like a 410 or a beginner bow or something like that, or I will say to the crossbow thing too, a crossbow, I mean, everybody in the family can use a crossbow, so it's not a bad option, especially if you're looking to do that yourself or expand your season. If you're just a gun hunter, you could hunt a little more of the season if you do have a crossbow. So,
yep, absolutely. The last company that I want to talk about is Full Sneak Gear. No, that's my company. So what I would say is, if you're looking for some kind of Christmas gift for any type of hunter, go check out my company. It is fullsneakgear.com. I have sweatshirts. I have t-shirts. Hopefully I'm going to have two more t-shirts up on the website before Christmas. I know I'm running late on that. I poor planning on my part. I got stocking caps. I got a blaze orange stocking cap that would be perfect for any type of gun hunter in your family. And so go to fullsneakgear.com. I do want to run through a couple other brands here real quick. Reveal trail cameras. A trail camera would be a very good gift, I feel, for somebody. One of the companies that we work with is Reveal Trail Cameras, and man, they're badass. They're easy to set up. You download an app, you scan a QR code, and then your camera's working already. So it's really some of their technology is pretty cool too, because you don't need an SD card in their camera. It just automatically sends everything to the app on your phone. And dude, This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
I love my reveals, man. They're awesome and easy to set up. So you can go to tacticam.com/cameras and you're going to find all of their new 3.0 versions there. And then last one I want to talk about here is, where's it at?
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Code Blue Sense. You know what would make a good gift? A Rope It Oat mock scrape kit.
Yeah.
That's a stocking stuffer right there, I would say.
Yeah, fairly inexpensive, and they're fun if you put that into using it with your trail camera and stuff. I mean,
absolutely.
That's a slam dunk, really. If you're looking for a gift for a kid, you could get the camera for them, you could get the stocking stuffer with the Rope It Oat kit, and done deal.
Yep. That's actually a good idea. Combo kit right there. And then especially if they're serious hunters, then they can be involved in it all year round.
Yeah.
Right. And so trail camera and then Code Blue Sense. So go to codebluesense.com. Check out all of their lineup of real synthetic deer urines and their codebluesense.com. Oh, discount code NFC20. NFC20. Go check that out. And those are some of the commercials I wanted to run through today. But outside of that, anything else gear related you want to talk about?
Oh, I mean, as long as we're talking gear, we might as well just throw it in there that I personally haven't picked up my bow to shoot it in I don't know how long. So, I mean, dust it off and shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're still in season if you still plan on shooting. Yeah. I do know there are a lot of winter archery leagues starting up here pretty soon, first of the year and stuff. And that's not a bad thing for people to continue shooting through the year. I personally enjoy that, you know, whether it's an 8-week or a 10-week season to shoot with a buddy or whatever and get out of the house for a night or something. So check those out at your local archery ranges too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I am in shoulder rehab mode right now. And so I've been doing these band exercises and some light weight exercises. It's surprising me at my age how limiting of activity I have with a messed up shoulder and a messed up knee. And so both my knees are trash, but one is, like, I got this shoulder. It's really impeding me. I'm rehabbing it right now. My knee is just, I'm on standby until basically a knee replacement at this point. And I'm still working out, trying to be active, trying to eat healthy, which sucks this time of year, 'cause there's always some damn cookies sitting around the house or whatever. Yeah. But I'm in rehab mode. But if I wasn't, yes, I agree 100%, dude. You got to just, like, pick your bow up a couple times a month and shoot it during the off season. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be shooting a bow anymore this year. With that said, I will pick up a muzzle loader here pretty soon and try to go do some late season hunting, depending on what the weather does. I have, you know, I got my late season muzzle loader tag and we're going to get into that, you know, but I do have to go out and make sure it's firing correctly, make sure everything is sighted, you know, sighted up to where it needs to be and go from there. But this kind of is a good transition into what we want to talk about today, and that would be late season, right? Mm-hmm. Or gun season, late season. I'll tell you this right now, trail cameras, they're off. There are still deer moving throughout the timber, but any type of noticeable, you know, maybe it's happening, maybe it's not, especially in Iowa, any breeding activity is over, it looks like, from the size of it. Is it over? Maybe, maybe not, but you're relying on a doe at this point who's been missed to go back into the breeding cycle, which can happen, but what are your trail cameras showing?
Kind of the same thing. I did have last night and I believe the night before bonus buck show up on a property. I had last weekend another bonus buck show up on another property and got really excited about him because he's a nice looking deer. And then 2 days go by and he's already missing his, what would it be, his G3, 4, and 5 on the one side. So he's out.
Oh, he broke off.
Yeah, 2 days after we got a full rack picture of him. He looked really good. We did get a picture of one of our number one shooters on a farm, and he is only missing about 2 inches of his complete rack. He actually looks really good. So he's still in the radar. I went last Thursday and Friday shotgun season, two different properties, saw 15 to 20 deer on each sit. And I mean, I had good sits, but the younger bucks are all bachelor back up. They're all coming out together. The does are coming out together. I think I saw maybe one doe that looked like she might have not been bred yet and never saw what I would classify as a shooter. So it was a good, they were good hunts. I saw just seeing deer is a good hunt to me, but they're definitely on bed to food, and I think right now it's going to take a big significant weather front to really pull those bigger bucks back out, because my trail cameras are showing a lot of nocturnal movement as far as the big mature bucks are.
Yeah So are you catching a lot of your action over top of food plots and or standing ag right now, or in, like in that transition, like staging area type areas? Where are your cameras located?
Yeah, so I got them in transition, but then also on food plots or picked fields. And you can definitely tell, I mean, the last half hour of each day, it's the deer will pile out, and you can, any of the cameras that are over those fields, there's deer in them. But in the transition areas, that's why I say a lot of the buck pictures, they're midnight, they're 1 o'clock, they're starting to go back to, you know, earlier in the year. They're at that nocturnal stage. So to me, it's going to take a good significant snowfall or a huge temperature swing in order to maybe pull them out. Because right now we've just been so mild as far as weather goes, and they're just not, they don't have the need, you know, to search for food that much. They don't have to get up and spend more hours during daylight out eating because it just hasn't been that significant.
Yeah. This time of year can be really tricky, especially when trying to pattern deer and, you know, the gun seasons. Do you typically find that deer leave your properties during the gun season? Or are you pretty low key with your pressure and you absorb deer?
Oh, yeah, we actually absorb deer more or less. There is a couple pieces where you can tell, like the neighbors definitely bombard it during gun season, and they have also through, you know, archery season. And so there's areas of our properties where they'll definitely concentrate. And then there's areas where if they butt up next to those pieces that they shy away from more or less. But pretty soon here, it gets cold enough to where a lot of hunters just aren't out. And, you know, like Illinois, well, it's archery season, but they also have a late winter season and CWD season in certain counties. It goes until January 19th. So a lot of people are going to be done hunting here after, Sunday. Sunday would have been the last of the second shotgun season. Most of them are done, you know, so the woods calms down. And I mean, if you give it a couple of weeks, I think you can really stack your odds, especially if we do, like I say, get a weather pattern change and you have a food source. I think you can really stack the deck in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I'm just in standby right now, right? So for all of the farms that I hunt, right, there's this moment where second season or first season shotgun, I believe today is the last day of first season shotgun in Iowa. There has been since a new group of hunters on my main farm that have come in. I typically don't hunt. There is the other guys that I archery hunt with, they always do first season. It seems like there's now another group that is first season hunters there. So now we have, I don't know, five more guys on the property during first season shotgun. Mm-hmm. So this 2 days will go by. And then all of a sudden, here comes the second shotgun, second season shotgun. That lasts, I don't even know how many days, 10 days or something like that. It's two full weekends. But these are the guys who drive, push the property. And really what happens after that is a ton of inconsistency as far as whether deer are on or are not on the property. They pressure it. The first season guys pressure it. The second season guys pressure it. And then after that, it becomes really hard to locate deer on that property. Here's the kicker though, this year is that property, the combine looks like it did some, there must have been some kind of crop insurance damage or something like that. They left these crops up, these beans up in the bottom, but it's like they went through and combined just the highest parts of the field and then they left. So I don't know if they're coming back for them or what the deal is. I mean, it's been a month since I've been back there, but the beans were still standing when I left. And then also the, what else? It would have been, we got standing corn up top as well. So if the standing corn is there, that might be a perfect late season opportunity to get in there, back door them into that, into this crop field. And then, you know, if they're standing corn and we get shitty weather or there's beans are still in the bottom, I'm telling you, man, I don't care how much pressure you get. There's going to be deer at some point coming in and absorbing back into that property once the pressure of the shotgun season is over.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, we try to plan for late season hunting in definitely one of our areas for sure. Behind my brother's house is one, and then across the road from him, we own some property. And it's amazing what we think each year, how much it's going to take to get these deer through, how much food they need to draw them in during late season. Most of our standing corn at our woods, it's virtually gone now. And so now, I mean, we're basically counting on all of our green food sources to do something, you know, whether it's the bulbs or, you know, the beets or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
We're hoping that can draw them in. But to that too, we also have to have some snow cover. We also have to have that weather, because right now the deer are still going out in these picked fields and just scrounging through and picking up remnants from, you know, whether it's a grain cart spill or out of the combine. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. With all this said, there's still, I want to say 27% of peak breeding in the United States still has to happen in the southern part. I talked with a wildlife biologist today, and I believe he said after December 9th, there is still 27% of the whitetail population in North America still has to go through its rut. Mm-hmm. And so that means all the southern guys, basically. And so I talked with a guy out of, where was he at? Mississippi, I believe. And he said that he is going, this week will be his peak rut. This is the week he takes off. It's like a week before Christmas, hits the same time every single year, he says, down there. And then I got a guy, I believe it's Alabama, Southern Alabama, who I talked with. He said that it's pre-rut right now. And so the week after Christmas, that week between the Christmas and New Year's is his best time to hunt, because he has that late December, early January rut. And then there's guys that are along the coast and down in South Texas where their rut is like the first 2 weeks of January too. Yeah. So there's still a lot of deer hunting to do for the guys in the South. And those seasons just seem absolutely crazy to me, right? Some of these states open up in September and they don't close till February.
Right.
That blows my mind that they have hunting seasons that long. But the cool thing is I know guys who they'll go up north and they'll hunt the traditional, late October, early November. These are obviously guys with no wife and kids. Mm-hmm. And then they travel south a little bit and then they'll hunt that November, first 2 weeks of November. Then they'll go to Kansas and they'll hunt that Thanksgiving timeframe. And so basically, these guys are chasing the rut all the way down into the southern rut. They're starting north, working their way down, and they're trying to catch pockets of rutting activity for basically three straight months.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you're still going to see a little bit, like we said at the beginning, there is still some does that haven't been bred and everything, you know, but you're going to have to hunt a lot of days in order to see that. If that's what you're hunting is the rut, it's done and over for that part. But I mean, you might get lucky and have one hot doe out of two weeks here, you know, or 3 weeks here. And she might be like, oh, well, I'm gonna go hunt tomorrow because I saw that. Well, then it's over, you know, that's the last one. And so I wouldn't put a lot of weight into that. If I was going to give somebody advice right now, I would probably just try to sit back, pick and choose your battles with the weather and know that, I mean, more deer are going to move when the weather is going to get bad or after it's been bad. So maybe don't go and pressure your woods or your property, you know, 10 days in a row or whatever. Maybe pick the best 2 out of 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The other thing I would say is, like, for me, I'm a bow hunter, right? I am going to participate in the late season muzzleloader, but I don't do the shotgun seasons anymore. So with that said, I'm really just on standby watching cell cams. Over Christmas, I'm going to run down to my main farm and I'm going to check trail cameras again to see if there is anything going on. And actually, if there is any type of standing corn left, I'll be moving some trail cameras to kind of identify any type of movement that's happening there. And maybe putting a couple trail cameras, they won't be cell cams because it's a river bottom farm, but putting some cameras over top of any type of beans that are still there. Mm-hmm. And so that might be an opportunity to catch something late season and then go back and check them, you know, in a couple days, see if there's anything moving around. And if not, try to pick the best farm. And because I know the farm that's 4 hours away from me, it's got standing beans on the next property. The guy keeps them up. And so whether he's going to be there or not, I'm going to be able to catch something coming out of there, hopefully.
Sure.
And if I don't make it down there, well, then I hope nothing is in that farm, because this guy, dude, it's the ultimate setup, right? Mm-hmm. He has, basically the farm that I hunt is in some way, shape or form a sanctuary, because I only go and hunt it pretty much just 1 week a year. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the deer are in there. There's, other than some dogs running them around, there's not much. So they just get pushed down in there. And then late season, they go to that bed to food pattern. This guy shows up in a box blind over a standing bean or mowed cornfield. And he gets his pick of whatever buck shows up. And so, so my goal is to get in between that and basically pick them off before they get to his field.
Sure.
Yep. So, outside of that, I mean,
your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
I don't think the late season is anything to really stress about. I mean, if you still have a couple, like in, for me, I can use my archery tag in late season and I can use my muzzleloader tag. So I'm sitting on two buck tags here in Iowa. I'm sitting on three doe tags. I'm debating on if I'm going to be able to get out, if what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it. And a lot of it depends on weather and work. And so outside of that, it just becomes basic, right? Is it just, it's basic bed to food pattern at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm kind of concentrating on too. I'm going to have to move some cameras. I know some of the cameras need to be moved from what I had them set up before the rut started. But I'm definitely going to be hunting the weather and known food source or somewhat close to a bedding area. I don't want to intrude on a bedding area, but I want to be in that transition to the food. But I'm also, right now, I'm going to learn how to trap a little bit, because I haven't trapped in a long time, and I got this bobcat tag burning a hole in my pocket, and I really want to tag a bobcat this year. So I'm gonna learn how to trap, and then I actually go out, try to rifle hunt one. So we'll see how that works out.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, outside of that, man, is there anything else to say? I mean, it's a pretty low key. I mean, if you are doing your deer camp, enjoy your deer camp. If you are doing some kind of gun season, good luck in your gun season. I know at this point, a lot of gun seasons are already over across the country. Iowa, where I hunt, is just getting started. I know there's a lot of antlerless type of seasons where you can only shoot does with guns coming up. If you do have a heated blind or you live in an area over Christmas break where you can get a kit out, perfect timing, you know, to do something like that. Grab a doe tag, go take a gun out, whether you're the shooter or the kid's the shooter. Make sure you have the right tags, but still a lot to do this type of year. You just have to be tough if the weather's cold.
Yeah. Back to your point, too, with the box blind and stuff. I probably will try to get the kids out over Christmas, and we will try to get them on another deer or something, at least give them a chance, both of them. So,
yeah.
I think they got a couple weeks off of Christmas, so we'll have plenty of opportunities, and it looks like it's going to be somewhat warmer by then, as long as that holds, so.
Yep, absolutely. Jason, man, any final thoughts or words of wisdom or anything at all today? This is a kind of a quick one.
Yeah, so if the weather does get kind of nasty, just remember that if it freezes, your sticks, your stand, everything will be slippery. Just be strapped to the tree in your harness. Yeah. Don't forget that stuff. I mean, I know a lot of times we cut corners and stuff, and it's not worth it, guys, because, I mean, especially any time of year, but during the holidays and stuff, you know, just make it home safe.
Absolutely. Good words to end on. Jason, good luck going out if you get out. Good luck to everybody. Be safe, and we will talk to you next time.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.